بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, my dear brothers in Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ulah gathers in Jannah as He gathers in the dunya. Ameen. معلمي وأستاذي بارك الله فيك أهلك مالك لا فض فوك. We always learn from the Shaykh. No matter where I meet him in the world, we always learn from him. جزاه الله عنا خيرا وبارك الله فيه أهلي مالي إن شاء الله. Ameen. For those, يا أيها المريض, those who are ill amongst us, I have a gift for you tonight. Those who are loss of poverty, health, wealth, a spouse, a child, a job, anything that you have despaired of, we have a gift for you tonight. If you feel that your back is against the wall and there is absolutely nothing you can do, their doors have been closed in front of you, but there's always a door that is open 24/7. Those who knocked on the doors of those who turn their back and walk away, and they see the 111, those whose faces turn red and the vein pops up when you ask him, those who can see their teeth where they're not smiling, but they're angry because you're asking, those who have not had a child for the years and spend so much money for, and those who haven't had a job for a long time, and they're again reaching their hands on the below, not the above. And those who have seen the people making fun of and mockery of their hijab or their beard or the skin color or the accent that they have. Those who have left people behind, have lost family, children. Those who have left the houses, the homes, a place they call the homeland. Those who have left the love behind, the heart is back, and they have nothing else except Allah. Those who have actually thought and left, changed the address, changed people, have lost jobs, have changed that, there's only one common denominator that will always be with you in this life and hereafter. It could only be Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So the scholars will tell you, أصلح ما بينك وبين الله يصلح الله ما بينك وبين العباد. So if the common denominator, the one that will be with you all the time, the one that will never leave you, even if you are not as pleasant, in a way that you please Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, in the act of worship, in the way that is befitting His Majesty, He will still never leave you. So count on the one that will never leave you. Not that the one that will turn back and walk away from you. Not the one that has a corporate smile. Not the one that loves you because you have a nice daughter he wants to marry. Not that the one that he knows that you have a job that he wants to get. Not that the one that he has a certain money that he wants for the fundraiser. La wallahi. So who are we talking about? It could only be with the name Al-Mujib. Why? Because the scholars say that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, "Ad-du'a wal-ibadah." When you raise your hands, when you have no others, when your back is against the wall and the doors are closed, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says that when he was asked, "What is the distance between the heavens and the earth?" If I ask you that question, my brothers and sisters, what is the distance between the heavens and the earth? You will say it's a mound of light of years and so on and so forth. But guess what did he say? Radiallahu anhu an Ahlul Bayt al-Tari ajma'in. He says, the distance between the heavens and the earth is da'watun mustajaba. Allahu Akbar. He says, the distance between the heavens and the earth is an answered prayer. How? He says, Ya Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa jalla, if you say, Labbayka abdi. That is if you're a righteous slave. If you're a righteous servant to Allah, if you say, Ya Rabb, O my Lord, Allah will say, Labbayka abdi. Yes, my slave. But if you're a disobedient slave to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, the scholar will say, if you say, Ya Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, say, Labbayka, Labbayka, Labbayka abdi. Yes, my slave. Allahu Akbar. So what is that power that we forget? Why is it exactly that we leave the salah so fast in order for us to get to those who don't have the keys for the heavens and the hell? Why do we not put our forehead down to the ground? Remember where we're created from, where we're going back to, and where we're going to be resurrected. The scholars will tell you that you're leaving the one that you want most for the one that you need least. So again, my brothers and sisters, we have a game plan for you tonight. We will talk about the etiquettes and the conditions, and those who say da'out wa da'out. I asked and I asked, but never answered. What is the etiquettes and manners and the benefits of it? In the three ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers you, but you don't even know about it. What exactly that you have to do? And look at that homework that I will leave you with as something that is tangible, so we can walk the talk. تَعَلَّمْنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ مَعًا. We learn knowledge and action together, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu warda said. So first of all, when you say Ya Rabb, that in itself, Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. You see, the scholars will say monotheism of that, divine names of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, it is among the threes of the Tawheed, monotheism. Tawheed al-Rububiyya wal-Ubudiyya. So when you say Ya Rabb, who do you say to? If you ask someone, if you're in need, will you go to a poor person? If you have a pain in your neck, will you go to a butcher? If you're in need of something, will you go to a plumber? You will go to a doctor. And that's why when you need something most on your dire needs, you can only ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Indeed, it is that when you say Ya Rabb, you know that He is Sami', He is Basir, He is Qawi, He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He is Ghafoor, He is Wadud, He is Qareeb. All the Asma' subhanahu jalla fi ula. And that's why the scholars will say that dua will encompass so many acts of worship, ibadah, in itself. That's why it's called mukh al-ibadah. It is the origin. It is the pillar. It is the fundamental foundation of the acts of worship. Because you will not ask if you don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir, qawi, aziz. You will not ask. You will not knock on a door. You will not knock on the door of those who turn their back and close it, but the one that opens every time, 24/7, that is Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Why? Because it says, if you have tawheed al-rububiyya, it will yasukhuk ila tawheed al-uluhiyya. Which means, if you have that in your heart, that you only ask the one that He gives, sustainer, the provider, the ghani, self-sufficient, and so on and so forth, since He knows that He's the one that gives you life, gives you a job, gives you a wife, gives you a spouse, the children, the health, the wealth, everything, why would you worship anybody else except the one that has all these criteria for you? And that's why the ibadah itself is mukh. The dua is mukh al-ibadah. And that's why when you make the dua, my brothers and sisters, you're submitting that He is the Lordship, the monotheism of the Lordship. And the monotheism of the Lordship will tasukhuk. It will drive you to the monotheism of what? The Godhood. What does that mean? لا معبود بحق إلا سواه. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is the only deity deserving to be worshipped. And that is a dua in itself, my brothers and sisters. So you say, how come is not my dua is not answered yet? I've been asking, and we get this all the time. I'm giving up. Well, Allah will never give up on you unless you give up on Him. And He will never give up on you. We have so many stories of that. But the hadith says so. Da'out wa da'out. I asked and I asked, but it hasn't been answered. Let me tell you some good news. Your dua will be answered for sure, whether you believe in Him or not. And I'll give you the proof of that. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula answered the dua of shaitan. Can you please raise your hand if you're worse than shaitan? None. I can tell you when you can be worse than shaitan. The scholars say if you don't pray, you're worse than shaitan. How? Because أُمِرَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَسْجُدَ لِآدَمَ فَأَبَى وَأُمِرَ ابْنَ آدَمَ لِيَسْجُدَ لِلَّهِ فَأَبَى. Shaitan was commanded to bow down in respect to Adam as he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. But the children of Adam were commanded to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, فَأَبَى. And they refused. Who's worse? The one that refused to bow down to Adam or the one that refused to bow down to Allah? Of course. So if you don't pray, may Allah protect you from that. You are worse than shaitan, subhanallah. Because the salah itself is ibadah, and it is a dua. 17 times a day, you say al-fatiha, and that the scholars say the fatiha is also ibadah, because it's dua. You say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Nasta'inu bika ya Rabbi ala ibadah. We seek your assistance and power, O Allah, to be able to worship you. It's all dua, my brothers and sisters. So the scholars say Allah will answer your dua in three ways. So never despair. The first way that Allah will answer your dua is immediately or in this life. If He sees fit, it is good for you. The second is He will not answer you in this life, but He will push away harm from you. As much as you made dua, it will be raised up as the decree of Allah, the divine decree will be descending upon you for something that could have been harmful for you or difficulties upon you. Yata'araj, they will be actually fighting till judgment day. So your dua will be raised up in the heavens as that decree comes down to plague you with something that is not pleasant, unpleasant, and they will be fighting, the dua will be fighting that divine decree till judgment day. You could have been making a dua and your son or your daughter will be swimming and no, there would have been decreed that they would have drowned. But your dua will fight that decree till judgment day. The third way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua is that He will hold it back till judgment day. And you will see yourself after that, suhuf, 99 files are spread. Everyone as far as your eyesight can see, on a day that is 50,000 years, where the sun leaves its orbit, comes close to your head, people will be drenched in their sweat. And all of a sudden, the score is settled. And there's nothing else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your honor and your rank in the heavens more than you deserve. Says, Ya Rabbi, where does that come from? He says, this is your dua. I have saved it for you till the day that you need it most. So you may have raised your hand in the dunya, Ya Rab, I'm in pain. Ya Rab, I'm poor. Ya Rab, I have no job. Ya Rab, I have no wife. I have no children. I waited for long. It hurts. How come others have a house and I don't? Have a roof over their head and I don't? Have clothes on their back and I don't? Food on the table and I don't? Have family and I don't? And so on and so forth. I've lost everything. It's painful. Allah subhanahu wa jalla says, because I left it for you for the day that you need it, that is more painful than anything else on the face of the earth. You cannot withstand the pain on judgment day. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla, in the befitting way, the befitting His majesty and the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa jalla sees fit, what's good for you, He will leave that for you till judgment day. And the narration says, I wish I have never been answered any of my dua in this life, so I can leave it till the hereafter. So don't despair. Allah knows best what's good for you. Understanding that, brothers and sisters, because the time is running, let me go into the etiquettes and matters and I'll give you some homework, inshallah. First of all, we walk the talk. So you can't tell me, Ya Rabb, and your mat'am min haram, maskanahu haram, malbasahu haram, ghuzdiya min haram. You say, Ya Rabb, but the food you eat is unlawful. The job you have is unlawful. The money you acquire is unlawful. Everything that you are surrounding, your company, the environment you're in, the way you're brought up, al-nash'a, is haram, unlawful. Anna yustajabu lah. Anna means how. How is Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi raziya? He's going to raise your hand. And the one that actually prayed so fast is like a bird. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go back. You haven't done it. Umar Khattab says, Ya Rab, what do you want? I want the Hurul Ain as a mahrun qaleel. Ya akhal Islam. This is a very little mahr, haqq mahr. It's a very small bridal gift. Habibi, how much do you have to work? Yani, let's talk. Okay, you see these? This is a sheikh. This is a milk sheikh. The brothers will tell me, Yani, what are you looking to look at here? So brothers, let's talk. Gloves are off. My brother from another mother, what do you have to do to get a sister from another mister? My man, you have to work so hard all your life, right? And then you have to go through the stages. Just in order for you to get a sister, that's halal. Yes? What do you have to do? First thing is mahindi, yeah? And then you have nikah ni'mati. Then you have rukhsati. Then you have bankruptcy. Isn't that the truth, man? You have to work so hard and pay so much in order for you to say, Al-Ha'ashhadu Allah Ash'ad Rasul. Yeah? One, Allahu Akbar.
مهر is a قليل. You want the حور العين?
I don't want to go. I don't do politics, but the sisters, hold back. As soon as you talk about حور العين, may Allah help me. You see, it's okay. I speak freely, but I don't live here. But may Allah help the mashayikh locals. You have to deal with this later. But understanding that, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiyullah has got so much for you, for just a dua, the scholar said, أَعَجِزَ النَّاسُ عَنِ الدُّعَاءِ أَعَجِزَ النَّاسُ عَنِ الدُّعَاءِ. Can you not at least ask, Allahu Akbar ya Shaykh? أَعَجِزَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ عَنِ النِّيَّةِ at least. Have the niyyah, the intention. What's holding you back? Amazing wallahi. So the first thing, you say ikhlas. You have to have a sincere niyyah. Yes? And you cannot do a lip service. So when you're talking, but your heart is not there, and you memorize the dua, don't even know what you're saying. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. مُطَّر. Who's the one that is going to answer? The one in disparity. The one in trials and turmoils. The one that has nothing left. مُطَّر. I am in need, Ya Allah. Necessity now. It's life and death. But what did he say? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He didn't say, قُلْ لَهُمْ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ. قُلْ التَّلْقِنِيَّةِ. Look at the siyaq. If you see the ayat, you say, قُلْ, قُلْ, قُلْ. It's called قُلْ التَّلْقِنِيَّةِ in ulum al-Quran. It says, tell them, tell them. But when it came to dua, he cut the middle man. He didn't say, قُلْ. He says, فَإِنِّي. فَأَتَعْقِيبٌ. Right away, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Why? The scholar says, this is an indication that you are close to Allah, and Allah is close to you too. هو نداء قريب لقريب ليس بعيد لبعيد. This nida, this call is from a close to Allah, the company to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to you. It is not a caller of a person that is so far away from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiyah will be so far away from you. And that's what the beauty of the dua, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a way befitting His Majesty on the last third of the night. Another dua, another homework for you. From now on, the best time to make a dua, according to the scholars, is the last third of the night, or the last hour of Jum'ah, or the rain falls, or if you're traveling, or you're madloom. And there are three types of people that the dua is answered. The scholars will tell you, Imamun Adil, not Adil Imam, Imamun Adil. If you're Egyptian, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, then move on. Kika, acha, ji, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Good. Allahumma zidna biha jahlan, Oh Allah. Imamun Adil. Imamun Adil, a just ruler. Allahumma arzuqna Imamun Adil. Allah grant us a just ruler, Ya Rab. But again, staying away from politics because I don't want the brothers to be in trouble here, inshallah. Number two, he says, الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. Those who remember Allah in abundance, male and female. And he says, المظلوم, the one that is oppressed. Allahu Akbar. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There is no hijab. There is no veil. There is no wall. You will be answered. وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ. By my might and glory, I will give you victory, even if it's not now, later for sure. Understanding that judgment day is exactly that, because of that, my brothers and sisters. So never despair of Allah's mercy. So let's do the homework. From now on, we're going to add something else on the list. It's called Qiyamul Layl, not Niyamul Layl. Yeah, I know there's something called Qaylula, and others say Laylula. Yani, Shaykh, yani. But when do you stay up at night to pray, man? Stay up at night when? You know, because your love, Shaykh, my heart is shaking, my knees are aching, it's true, I ain't faking, she doesn't eat bacon. Huh? Is this the only time I'm going to stay up at night, man? No, you're going to need to stay up at night because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. Where? Because in the third night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ. The scholar says, dua first. Sa'il, even though sa'il is min dua. Where are those making dua so I can answer them? Those where they're asking so I can grant them. هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ. Where are those who are asking for forgiveness? هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ. Where are those who wants to be granted repentance? هَلْ مِنْ, هَلْ مِنْ. Every night in the last third of the night. So we have to have two rak'at. Waljaru Ahmad. If you want to be with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who were deprived the honor of being with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here you go. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, rak'at, two rak'at in the middle of the night.
your jar, your neighbor will be Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is your homework. Every night, at least half an hour before the Fajr Adhan, you're going to get up and pray two rak'at. And put that forehead down to the ground. And that's why the sajda is twice in every rak'at. Because you come close, you humiliate yourself to the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fiula. You remember where you came from. You remember where you're going to. And you remember where you're coming out of. So he says, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونِ الْعَبْدُ الْرَبِّ وَسَاجِدْ فَأَكْثِرُوا فِي الدُّعَاءِ. You're closest to Allah when you put your forehead down to the ground. So why are you worried? Why are you afraid? Who you care? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fiula. Didn't you hear the word Allahu Akbar? Wasn't that the first letter that you heard? First thing that you heard from your father in your right ear, Allahu Akbar. Doesn't the adhan say that all the time? Don't you say that before you move in every access of salah? Allahu Akbar, we accept one. So why are you afraid? So how do you know where the third of the night is? Practical now. From the Maghrib to Fajr. Let's say Maghrib right now is around, just to round it up, around 6. And Fajr is, let's say, close it again, around 6. Because I don't have my calculator with me and I don't want to be embarrassed. Yes, we went to school, alhamdulillah, and everything is good. So from 6 to 6 is 12 hours, that's easy. Third, divide by 3, you get 4 hours. That means from 6 o'clock, 4 hours before, that's the last third of the night. So you have to have at least 2 rak'at in that last third of the night in order for you to be able to get the benefit of the dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ala is asking, where? أَنَا عِنْدُ حُسْنَ ذَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. I am what you think of me. And the etiquettes and the matters, by the way, to face the qibla, have a purification. You're talking to Malik al-Muluk. Ask with yaqeen, certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. Don't ever say, اغفر لي in shit. That's a trick of shaitan. Scholars will tell you, don't ever do that. Don't say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. Don't do that. Yaqeen, Allah will forgive you. Don't let shaitan mess with your head. And also, understand that you have to have ikhlas. Ask Allah only, not anybody else. And that's so, the third is the one that you want. So from now on, no more sleeping all night. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, who has a smartphone? Raise your hand if you have a smartphone. Okay, raise your hand if you have a stupid phone. Okay, you don't have a stupid, there's no cell phone. I want you to download something called Husn al-Muslim, Fortress of a Muslim. By the way, it's a free app. And us Muslims, we love free stuff, mashallah. So I want you to download it, it's free. I want you to remember a dua every week, at least one dua every week. Especially Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa. Especially Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa. The remembrance of Allah during the day and remembrance of Allah during the night. If you do it, you're protected during the day. If you do it at night, you're protected all night. And there's so many dua, I don't have enough time to tell you, but that's your homework. That's your second homework. Okay, let me tell you some stories, brothers and sisters. Remember the three that were entrapped in the cave? What power did they have in order for them to ask Allah to get them out? I want you to imagine that you're going on a trip and all of a sudden you're trapped. There's nothing. There's no Wi-Fi. You cannot get in. No battery. Nothing. You're freaking out. But how many dashes do you have with Allah? What's your upload? What's your uplink? What's the strength of your signal with Allah? How much battery do you have in your heart? When you raise your hand, is it answered? And how do you know it's answered or not? Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. I know some of the brothers in their office, they will say, ya salam, I wish I would have this. Wallahi, I took an oath by Allah. People will knock on their office and give them exactly what they want. It happens so many times. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, did something that was wrong and as soon as you get in your car, the first ayah you hear is exactly what you want to hear. That Allah has never given up on you. That you're not so far. That you will be forgiven. And that's how you know you're close to Allah and Allah is answering your dua. How many of us speak different languages? Ask so many things. Who answers for everyone that has a different color skin? Wherever you were born, what language you speak, whatever gender and creed and whatever that is. Who answers all of these du'as in different languages at the same time? Only Allah. So never ever despair. Thinking about the du'a in itself, my brothers and sisters, the story of the three. They were entrapped. It says, Ya Rab, They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. If I've done this sincerely for your sake, those who looked after the parents, I don't have enough time to go into details. Allah alleviated the hardship. Although so, the one that I wanted to get married, I wanted to have my way, but she refused and I let her go and I gave her the money. For your sake, Ya Allah, let them go. And the one that invested the money for the salary that was not granted, and he gave him everything that was between the valleys of the cattle, Allah answered the dua. Remember the man that came crying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, made a dua. Jibreel alayhi salam came down to tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sell hadha rajul. Ask this man, why was he crying coming to you? Allah answered his dua. Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. There was a man that asked Allah, I have seen and I heard about Ahmad ibn Hanbal. I want to meet him personally. And he lived so far away. And they didn't have the WW this and all of that stuff. There was nothing. There's nothing online that they know who Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi imam. Didn't. Don't know. Don't have it. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal had to travel. He stayed in that masjid one time. And he wanted to spend the night because he was traveling. But the masjid apparently had policies that no one stays overnight. For some reason or another. And they pulled him out. They didn't know who he was. And they forcefully pushed him out of the masjid. And he was on the street. A man saw him, felt sorry for him. He says, Akh al-Islam, come, you stay with me. And he saw that man, that he was making lots of dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, and making lots of dua. And he says, who are you? I'm just a poor man. He says, you know, I asked Allah for a lot of things, and He answered me. But there's only one dua I haven't been answered yet. He says, what is exactly what it is? He says, I asked Allah to meet Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. He says, Wallahi laqad jarrani ilayka Allahu jarra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally dragged me to you. I am Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Allahu Akbar. And the last story I have with you is a true story. The doctor is actually narrating this story. He says, a grandmother looked after a grandchild after his parents, both of them died. And that child had an illness. And the illness was so rare, there was very few doctors around the world that are specialist enough to be able to cure that illness. He says, I asked Allah, but this woman was in a very so far area, a rural area, that was isolated. And this man was a very famous man, this famous doctor, no way that would be able to do it. Not even communication, cannot even connect with them. That doctor says, Wallahi, I had a conference in that country. I took a plane over there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a rain and thunderstorm. The plane had to land someplace else other than the country I was supposed to do it. I had to rent a car in order for me to cross the border. I got lost on my way, and there was a house dim lit. I had to go in the mud, in the rain, lost. I have nowhere else to go except that small house. With a lantern. I had to knock on the door. Help me. He says, come in. We'll look after you. Who are you? I am so and so. After he looked at that young boy. Wallahi, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling you that story. What happened to this young child? She said, he has that type of illness. He said, Allahu Akbar. He said, that illness is a very rare illness, and there's not too many people that will be able to help you. She said, I heard there was a doctor called so-and-so in this country. He's the only one that could help me. He says, I am Dr. So-and-so. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula made me take a plane for our country, for a conference. And that plane, Allah commanded the heavens to rain and thunderstorm to push that plane away. And I took a car to take over the border to be able to come to this country. I got lost in order for me to come to you by your dua to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. You know the power of dua, my brothers and sisters. That is the power that you have. So I'm going to repeat your homework. You need to download Husn al-Muslim. to use it every day. Learn and memorize one dua every week at least. You also have to have this Qiyamul Layl every night from now on, just before Fajr prayer. Prolong your prostration, put your forehead down to the ground, and don't ever leave the one that the doors open 24/7. The last thing I'm going to ask you for, significant aunt, everybody stand up please for 1 second. There's no fundraisers, wallahi, don't worry. Just... My last request for you, brothers and sisters, is I want you to turn to the brother next to you or the sister next to you and give him a hug. Tell him, I love you for the sake of Allah. I want to be with you in Jannah, like I'm with you here. And if I make dua for you, the angel says, Ameen wa lakal mithl. So you make dua for each other and love each other for the sake of Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are gathered in the dunya, together with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hereafter. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil ameen. Wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Jazakumullah khayran wa sallamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.